Well, that was a movie trailer for my third documentary film that's coming out the end of September. And this Saturday night, I've mentioned it earlier in the week, but I'll mention it to some of you who haven't heard it yet. After the sermon, a little shorter sermon on Saturday night, so we have time to watch the feature story from this movie. It's only 27 minutes. There are four stories. You saw little clips from all four of the stories, right? And the very last one I'll mention tonight during the sermon, the blind man. But the man who was shot in the head from point-blank range didn't die. He doesn't have any physical disabilities, no neurological deficits. And it was the largest practical handgun bullet in use today, a .45 caliber bullet. Went right through his ear. That's what we're going to show Saturday night. It's an unbelievable story. So I hope you can come and bring your friends. I don't believe it's an accident that my third film, my documentary film, is on the topic of miracles. You see, much of the scripture I've been memorizing over these last 2 years has incorporated stories about amazing miracles. And the journey of both at the same time has just been astounding to me. Some of the parallels in very exciting, humbling, and surprising ways. Tonight's passage is chapter 9 from the book of John. And we meet a man here in this passage who receives his physical eyesight. But he gets more than that. He recognizes a king, and he defends this king, and he worships him. I'll be reciting from the English Standard Version. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. I must work the works of God while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and he made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He said, "The man called Jesus made some mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam.' So I went and washed, and I received my sight." They asked him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the man who had formerly been blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. He said, "He made mud, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they asked the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know this is our son, and that he was born blind, But as to how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, because the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed Jesus to be Christ, he would be thrown out of the synagogue. Therefore, they said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. This man is a sinner. The man answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. The Pharisee said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? The man answered, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, but he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And the Pharisees answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees standing near him heard these things, and they said, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. In verse 35, Jesus asked the man, do you believe in the Son of God? This is really the message of the entire Bible, calling humanity to believe in Jesus, not just in the Creator, but also as Savior, Redeemer, and King. Someone might say, well, that's a good theory. I mean, I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, but I'm not sure how that relates to my story. I'm not sure how that relates to my life and my challenges right now. Let me ask you a question. Would you defend someone based on only a theory? At your own personal risk? The answer, I'm sure, is no. Only if you knew that person and experienced them personally. That's what we see in this passage that we just listened to. A man who stands up to the most powerful people in his nation. The most powerful people. And he's defending Jesus, saying, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. How could he say that? How could this man say that? Based on a theory? No. He experienced the power and the presence of Jesus. And it compelled him. It compelled him to recite his story. In verse 25, he testifies, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, isn't this a beautiful statement? Isn't this a powerful scripture? That though I was blind, now I see. Notice his words aren't theological, right? They're experiential. Our knowledge of doctrines, as important as our knowledge of doctrines is, will not compel us to stand up in the end. The heat will be too much. But if we have experienced a personal revelation with our eyes wide open, then we will not count the cost, because Jesus is everything to us. Right?
Amen.
We're not going to count the cost because we know Him. We see Him with our spiritual eyes. He's a mountain that's risen up in front of us, and He's just as real as the skin on your body. It's not a theory. It's a person. Amen? We get so excited by physical manifestations of God's miracles, don't we? In the world and in the Bible. It really amazes us. In this powerful passage, we see the power of Jesus to open this man's physical eyes, right? But as I memorized this and I meditated on it, I recognized that the restoration of this man's physical eyesight was just a metaphor for a deeper lesson. Much, much more important lesson. In John 9:39, Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." He's talking about spiritual eyes that recognize and worship the Messiah. And he clarifies this in verse 41 when he's talking back to the Pharisees. And he says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, no sin. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. These are the religious leaders of the nation he's talking to. These guys are standing right next to the Creator of heaven and earth. They're standing next to the Messiah of the world. And they're completely blind. We're blind too. We can't judge the Pharisees. In many respects, I'm afraid we're a lot like them. But listen, for those who cry out from an honest heart, from the depths of your heart, Jesus is ready. He's ready to reveal Himself in a way you've never seen Him before. To show us the way to life. It was right after a hurricane had blown through Florida. This was some years ago. This is always the best time to find the best waves on the coast. Florida doesn't have big waves, but when a hurricane comes by, they're huge. Now, I was a novice surfer. I had just purchased my own board, and I heard the weather report. I even had a weather radio, so I got the surf report. It was about an hour drive from Orlando to the East Coast. And I remember the day after the hurricane had blown by, the waves were really big on the forecast. So I didn't even take time to call any of my buddies. I just hit the road, took the day off, kind of like the Australians do, probably. Very anti-American. I quit. I took the day off and went out to the beach And sure enough, the swells were huge. Well, for Florida, they were huge. You know, 3 or 4 meters. Some of them were bigger than that. So I swam out to the break point, about 150 meters, maybe 200 meters off the shore. And I'm waiting for the big one. And I remember seeing it coming on the horizon. And I knew this was it. So I began to paddle, and I found myself on the very top of the mountain. But the problem was, the wind was blowing hard onshore, and the face was blowing out quickly. But it was too late. I'm on the top, and I fall off the board, and I'm down, down, down into the trough. And I remember thinking, better get a big breath of air, because this thing's going to come pounding down on top of you. And sure enough, I felt the full weight of that wave. Now, I had been a beach lifeguard before, and I'm a strong swimmer, but I was no match for that force of nature. I was pummeled like a rag doll. I was thrashed over and over until I couldn't tell where I was. Where was up and where was down? I had no idea how deep the wave had pushed me, and I didn't know where the bottom was. As I was tumbling, the power of the wave started to break me. And the power of the wave started to penetrate my sinuses. And my mind cried out to God, and in an instant, you know how your life can pass before you? We hear that's kind of a cliche, but it happens, doesn't it? Some of you are nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. And in that moment, I promised God, if He would save my life, I would do anything for Him. At that very instant, my feet found the bottom. And with my last bit of energy, I pushed up as hard as I could. I didn't know how far it was to the surface. And right as my nose broke the surface of the water, I was inhaling. At that moment, if I hadn't broken the surface right then, my lungs would have filled with seawater. Miracles are no big deal to God. It's easy for Him to move mountains, to heal the sick, and to reveal the bottom of the ocean to a drowning surfer. It's pretty simple to God. But He knows without spiritual eyesight, the physical miracle is completely misunderstood or it's quickly forgotten. And like sheep, we wander off looking for our next magic trick. Isaiah 53, right? Says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. All of us have chosen our own way. In John 6, you see this really heartbreaking scene. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men plus women and children, right? And He sends His disciples across the lake overnight. But He doesn't go with them, right? And the next day, some people go across the lake, and they find Him there. But they know He didn't get in the boat with the disciples, so they ask Jesus, how did you get here? And I can see Jesus' face. I can just see His face when He looks at them. You're looking for Me because you ate some bread yesterday. You're just looking for another magic trick, another free meal. And from the depths of His heart, seek that bread that comes from heaven. I am the bread of life. He's begging them to look at the reality of God. And Jesus' message to the church, by the way, is no different today than it was back then. Jesus says, you can't see, you need help. In Revelation chapter 3, we see the message to the Laodicean church, right? And Jesus says to us, you think you've got it all. You think you have the bucket of truth. You think your ticket's already punched to paradise, but here's your true condition. You're really wretched and miserable and poor and what?
Blind.
Thankfully, he didn't leave us there. Thank you, Lord. You don't leave us there with a judgment. He says, I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire. And then he mentions eye salve, right? So we can see. Revelation is a gradual process of opening our eyes spiritually, right? And we can't even conceive of God. He has to give us doable doses because he's so huge. You can take a blind man from a cave, who's been living in a cave, and you can take him into a house, right? And he doesn't really know anything different until you lead him to the table and the chairs and the other furniture, right? And he starts to discern gradually that he's in a very different place. Jesus came in the form of a man so we could understand something, see something of God's heart. Do you know even angels can't comprehend God unless he reveals himself to them as well? And they live in heaven. Isn't that astounding? What's Jesus' angelic name in Scripture? What is it?
Michael.
We see it in the book of Jude, and we see it in the book of Daniel, don't we? And even we see in the book of Exodus, the angel of God, or the angel of the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament, the implication is it's a divine person. The angel of the Lord that it shows to Moses in Exodus 3, the angel of the Lord tells Moses, take off your shoes. The place where you stand is holy ground. An angel wouldn't do that. Only God would. I've come to understand as I've memorized Scripture that God's sort of like a PR and marketing... Jesus is sort of like the PR and marketing department for the Godhead. You know, he has to position God's image in a way that's attractive to us. It makes us want to have something more of him so that we can see. I mean, think of all of the 24/7 ads we're bombarded with. Internet, TV, radio. It's 24/7. And what's the goal? To make you think you've got to have the product or service, right? You're just not cool if you don't have those Levi's jeans. You're just not cool if you don't have that Hollister t-shirt or those Adidas basketball shoes, or you know the list. You guys know it. But see, God's goal is vastly different. God's marketing message is very, very different. Because you know why? God knows that without him, we're dead. It's not a game. And he knocks on the neural pathways of your mind and mine through the Holy Spirit. And if we're willing, we can begin to see a whole new world, a whole new worldview. But without it, we're blind. You know, I find great comfort in John chapter 9. I find great comfort to surrender things to God that I've never had answers for. I know people who cringe every time they hear a story about miracle in church. They cringe because of what they or their family members have gone through. Maybe you know some people like that too. You know why? They hurt. That's an interesting party going on up there. Maybe someone can go up and check for us and see what they're doing. Thank you, my brother. They feel hurt. These people feel hurt because they've prayed and they didn't get what they were praying for. Can any of you relate to that? I'm sure you can. We often obsess asking, why, God? Why did you let this happen to me or my family member? You know what? Jesus' answer in John chapter 9 is the same for us as it was for the blind man. Check this out. This gives me great comfort. Jesus said it was not that this man sinned or his parents. Why? But that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus says, I didn't make the misery. I didn't make the hurt you deal with. But if you let me, I can transform them. Even if they were self-inflicted wounds, I can transform them. So that you can see my glory in your life. One of the people featured in my new miracles film is Neville Peter. He's a blind recording artist, a fantastic talent. Some people call him the Adventist Stevie Wonder. He's got long dreadlocks. You saw him in the movie trailer at the end. He's a fantastic talent. Let me tell you his story, because it's really about these things we don't have answers for. When he was a baby, he was in a bad car accident. His parents were driving home from Sabbath church, and his mother was holding him in the front seat. And there was a head-on collision. And he was thrown from his mother's arms, and he hit the dashboard head first. It wasn't until later that he was diagnosed with glaucoma and slowly began losing his eyesight. During his childhood, his parents took him several times to church for anointing services, and they begged God to heal him for years. But sadly, by the time he was 12, he was completely blind. His journey is one of intense emotional struggle and eventual victory. And you say, well, did he eventually get his physical eyesight back? Answer, no. Neville's story demonstrates how God can work the greatest miracle. Are you hearing me? He can work the greatest miracle when we surrender our situation to him. Whatever the situation, do you know what? Neville has more spiritual eyesight. Listen to me. He has more spiritual eyesight than most of us will ever have. So much depth in his soul. And I can't wait to tell his story to the world, because his story demonstrates the greatest miracle. Listen, people, as I close. It's not the people who get physical healing who show God's greatest power. It's not those people. That's easy for God. No. It's the person who wasn't healed physically and still went on trusting. Do you hear me? That person who's dying from cancer and he's saying, it's not about me. It's about him. That person is being healed emotionally and spiritually. It doesn't mean they don't struggle, but it means they get the strength to endure and persevere. They're enduring and seeing him who is invisible, like we see in Hebrews 11:27. Watching him, seeing him, abiding in him. They're God's greatest witnesses, these people. To the universe. Why? Because they demonstrate a love for God that is not based on what we get from him. Amen? How many of my prayers are a checklist? God, please give me this. I'd really like to get a new job. I'd really like a girlfriend. You know, I'd like a better marriage. This is kind of a hassle right now. You know, you have your list too. We all have them. God must get tired sometimes of being a cosmic Santa Claus. But his heart is yearning. He's yearning for you to listen. Turn and listen to him. He loves you. He died for you. And he has so much more than you've ever imagined. But you need eyes to see it. Tomorrow night we're going to continue with this conversation about challenges that we don't understand or have answers for in John chapter 11. I hope you all will come. The problem of pain and suffering in the church is probably the most awkward subject. But I think God has some revelation for us. Eyes wide open. This is what I'm praying for, and I hope you are too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray for each person here, each heart, each mind, that they will reach out to you, Lord, and see you rising up in a way that only you can give them. We can't touch you. You're not tangible. And the world makes it confusing sometimes. But you are more than able to save anyone to the uttermost when we turn to you. So, Lord, I pray for spiritual eyesight for everyone here, that they may leave this place with more confidence, that you will never leave them and never forsake them, that you have been and always will be their very best friend. We give you glory and we'll praise you forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tomorrow afternoon at 3:45.
Okay. Tomorrow afternoon at 3:45 in this room, Chris's film and Morning Breaks will be shown. So 3:45 tomorrow afternoon, if you want to come and see that. It's a documentary that he did about miscarriage and